Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q2 FY23 earnings conference call of Subex Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. G.V. Krishnakant. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon to everyone who has joined the earnings call for the quarter ended September 30th, 2022. Now I would like to introduce the members of the management who are present for the call. Along with me, I have Mr. Vinod Kumar, Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Sumit Kumar, Chief Financial Officer of the company. I would like to start the conference call by going through the safe harbor clause. Certain statements in this call concerning our future growth prospects are forward-looking statements which involve a number of risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from those in such forward-looking statements. The risks and uncertainties relating to these statements, including but not limited to fluctuations in earnings, our ability to successfully integrate acquisitions, competition in our area of business, client concentration, liability for damages in our contracts, withdrawal of tax incentives, political instability, unauthorized use of our intellectual property, and general economic conditions affecting our industry. So with this, I now hand over the call to Mr. Vinod Kumar to take it forward.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for attending this call. As we have announced day before yesterday, the financial results for Q2, the revenue for quarter two of FY23 stood at about 74.55 crores. This is a drop from the quarter one level of around 10%. The EBITDA was marginally positive, but we also had a loss after tax for 5 crores. So overall, it was a difficult quarter. What is in line with our expectation is that the full impact of the license to subscription model change is flowing into this number. But what was not expected is some additional headwinds regarding the budget skews and some service reduction requests from our customers, which I will elaborate as we go through the briefing. But before we discuss the core business, I wanted to cover the progress that we are making on the young and growing part of our business. Let me start with ID Central. As probably some of you would have seen from our investor presentation, we have added 11 more customers to ID Central range of products, and currently the total number of customers that we have is about 33. Now, we have made significant improvement to the products and also have managed to reduce the cost of our service with better deals with our partners. We have passed some of these savings to our customers, and all these things have resulted in an increased number of pull of our API. And from start to date, we have, this quarter, we have crossed 10 million API pulls on our platform. What is also significant is that we have launched a face matching feature wherein with the list of let's say defaulters or fraudulent customers with photos, we are able to match the new applicants, and even if their let's say data are different, like name etc. are different, if there is a match in the photo, with a very high degree of accuracy, we are able to detect them, and thereby preventing these fraudsters or defaulters getting into the platforms again. So this is definitely an improved capabilities that we have brought into the market. So overall, I think if you look at both from the API pulls and the number of customers, it is getting into the profile of a growing SaaS business, and we expect this growth to continue in the quarters to come. Now let us move to Sectrio, the IoT-OT security portfolio. The major update is that we have won our first electric utility in the country. We have won the deal from BESCOM. Now this is a very, very important sector for us with the kind of digitization that is happening and the exposure that we are seeing of this sector into cyber threat, etc. This is a very important sector that we are focused on, and this particular win will help us to significantly improve our positioning in this segment. We are also making good progress in the manufacturing and critical infrastructure areas in UAE and Mexico, which are the two other markets that we are currently focused, in addition to India as a market for Sectria. With HyperSense AI, our augmented and multi-personal AIML platform, we have, in addition to EMEA, where we have a strong presence in the telco area, we have also a specific focus to get through to the North American market. And in line with that, we have currently two POCs underway with Tier 1 operators in North America, and we hope to complete these in the next quarter. So overall, for HyperSense AI, which is our multi-personal AIML platform also, the progress have been good, and we have several POCs going on, and we expect, and these are, this at this point in time, we are only focused on telco segment, and POCs and the contracting telcos take time, but I guess we are quite hopeful that some of these POCs we will be able to conclude quickly and convert them into commercial successes. So overall, I guess that on the new areas, this has started, we have started adding customers, and growth is also in line with our expectation. And our overall expectation is that as we end this year, the new part of the business will grow about 3x of what it was last year. Now, let me come to the core, where we have a bit of a challenge. As I mentioned, on account of this inflationary, pressures in various markets, we have seen some headwinds whereby there is budget squeeze from some of our customers, and therefore that resulted in some requests for reduction of some of the services, particularly the managed services that we are offering. These reductions are like movement of some on-site resources to offshore and moving some 24/7 operations to 7/5 and things like that. So this has definitely resulted in a dip in our revenue, and we expect this particular, it will at least take 2-3 quarters for them to streamline and get back to the service levels that we were offering them till last quarter. Now, in addition to that, as we have been communicating, we have worked for this on account of all of our products moving to HyperSense platform. We are fundamentally changing the business model from a license plus implementation to a subscription-based model. And the full impact of this license to subscription change is flowing into our financials at this point in time. But this was expected, and we have been communicating for the last couple of quarters that we would have this, therefore, a small dip because whatever we are executing in a period of 12 to 15 months, executing and recognizing the revenue over 12 to 15 months, will get recognized over a larger period of maybe 3 to 5 years thing. The advantage being that we will be able to secure a lot more customers and also convert some of the competition. So I guess that the impact of this change is it's flowing into our financials, plus this headwind of some reduction of services has resulted in a lower overall revenue for this quarter. However, I think it is important for us to see our business going forward as a subscription-based business, and therefore, the construct of our business would be a MRR, which is a monthly recurring revenue, and one-time revenue. So I just wanted to provide you a baseline as to where we are today with respect to both the monthly recurring revenue and the one-time revenue backlog. Our monthly revenue, recurring revenue as on September end stood at 2.3 million, which means that then if you look at from a quarterly standpoint, it should be something like 2.3 into 3 times. That's almost close to $7 million will be the quarterly recurring revenue. And our backlog for one-time revenue stood at $14.7 million. So this $14.7 million will get executed as we implement these projects. These are primarily the implementation, change request, and things like that, which will get executed in maybe 3 to 4 quarters. So our intent is that the $2.3 million MRR, monthly recurring revenue, is something which we will start reporting quarter on quarter, and our intent will be as we grow the subscription business, this $2.3 million MRR will grow from that level going forward. So that's our expectation. In line with some of the reduction of services that we face this quarter, we have been able to redeploy our talent against open headcounts, against attrition and such things. And therefore, you will notice that even with the yearly increments, which we typically give in quarter two, our overall employee cost pretty much remained at the pre-increment level. So we have been swift to reallocate these resources against attrition and therefore maintaining the employee cost at the Q1 level, even post-increment. Coming to talent and people side, like what we are witnessing in the overall as an industry, we are seeing a higher than usual attrition level. And our focus is to retain our key talent. It's not easy, but what is helping us is the work that we are doing, leveraging cutting edge technology like AI, ML, and etc. So in summary, the revenue dip from the last quarter to this quarter is on account of the impact of license to subscription model change fully flowing into the financials, and also the reduction on account of the headwinds that we talked about there. Some MS services have been reduced on account of budget skews that the operators have doing. These budget skews are, just to clarify, is not on our products, it's across the board. They are looking at these budget skews. The next aspect is that as we convert to a subscription-based business, it's important to see our overall business constituting of a monthly recurring revenue and a one-time revenues. And our current monthly recurring revenue is about $2.3 million per month. And the one-time revenue backlog stands at about $14.7 million. The intent is to have this monthly recurring revenue grow on a quarter-on-quarter basis. And the new areas have started clocking decent growth, and we expect this to continue. I know that the results are not what you had expected, but for some of the steps that we are taking all the necessary steps to ensure that we are getting into a steady growth path. We request your patience, and also I thank you for the support, and we will need a lot of them as we go through this transition. And ensure that the company is taken to the next phase of growth. With that, I would open to the questions, please.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad and wait for your turn to ask the question. If you would like to withdraw your request, you may do so by pressing star and one again. Participants are kindly requested to ask two questions in the initial round and may join the queue for more questions. We will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question comes from Pratap Maliwal from Mount Infra Finance. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible, please?
Yes, sir.
Yes, Pratap, go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. Hi, sir. So I just wanted to ask regarding the HyperSense transition. So you mentioned we're doing two POCs in North America. So are these for existing customers or are these entirely new customers that we're targeting?
These are with existing customers, but on new areas. This is not for our core products, but this is for the new platform, HyperSense AI ML platforms. So we are doing a POC for use cases which are AI ML specific, nothing related to fraud, RA, etc., which is our core area. So these are with our existing customers on new areas.
Okay, and I think in the recent past, we had called out a HyperSense deal for fraud management to be in the area of $3.5 million. So just wanted to understand, had this deal been for a traditional license implement support model, then what would have been the deal size? Just trying to gauge the delta that we get from the transition from the traditional to the new model to HyperSense. What would the deal size be?
So the deal size would have been, let us say, maybe it would have been around 2.5 odd million that would have been recognized, say, over a period of 18 months or so. But what we do with this is that this is over a larger period. However, we have the ability to, if you look at the original construct, it would have been 2.5 million and thereafter, you know, we get a, probably an annuity of, say, 200K or 200K per year or something of that nature. But in this case, once we have started, once the implementation is over, the implementation has happened, and we are expecting the implementation to get completed by about by March timeframe. From then onwards, on an ongoing basis, we will start getting the MRC starting then till we continue the service. So that's the advantage that we have. And the second advantage is that this is now that they have the HyperSense platform, we can also start moving additional use cases on top of the platform, which will come with an increase in the monthly recurring charge.
Okay, sir. Thank you. And the number of customers that you transitioned to HyperSense, I believe it was 7 customers in Q1. What's the number? Any update on that front?
So we have signed up another 3 more at this point in time. These are primarily for the conversion of our existing ROC platform into HyperSense platform. But I think along with that, as I told you, we also have several POCs going on for HyperSense AI, like the 2 North American POCs I was referring to. Those are independent of these conversions of ROC to HyperSense platform that we clarified.
Okay. And just one final question from my side, please. Last quarter, we had made a provision regarding 86.6 million regarding a customer. So have you started recovery on that front?
Not as yet. We are still working on it. There is a region and some of the forex challenges is not allowing us to make progress, but we are expecting that we would make progress, some progress during the quarter, during the course of this quarter.
Okay, sir. That's helpful. Thank you. I'll get back in with you.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you. Next question comes from Mahesh Kumar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yes. Good afternoon to Vinod and CFO. See, my question, first question is related to the cash in the balance sheet. The announcement given to the BSC on 14th November, page number 11, says cash on in the balance sheet as on 30th September is 54 crore rupees. Whereas your presentation, which is submitted to the BSC yesterday, says total cash in the balance sheet is 85 crore. Which is the correct number?
Sir, this side Sumit here. So
yes,
we do have money sitting into the investment accounts, which is the highly liquid cash. It's in the form of mutual funds and FDs. So what we reported in the balance sheet, if you see as per the statutory books of account, that is shown under the investment line, which is a highly liquid. So what we reported is the consolidated cash balance is 85 crore, though the cash and cash bank is 54 crore, as you rightly told. So both are considered as a liquid cash.
So what is the reduction in the cash in this quarter? See, last quarter, that was 17 crore reduction in the cash. What is the reduction in this quarter?
So this quarter, obviously, there's a loss which is translating down to the cash loss, which is represented in the cash flow as well. And plus, there is a delay in the collections as well, which is like money has been piled up into the working capital due to some challenges around on delay in collections and things. So that is largely the thing, more in the business loss, plus there is an amount stuck slightly into the working capital. If you see, our DSO is also slightly increased, and the whole idea is this quarter, we are just working out more thing to get this back to the normal.
No, all these finances are going haywire. Is it due to the poor financial control or lack of talent in the finance department?
Yeah, so I think that the two aspects as Sumit mentioned, there is our revenues have come down. So if you look at from a cost perspective, if you look at the increase, and typically if you look at the historically Q1 to Q2, there is a in line with the increase of the overall increment, that is the Subex, the expenses go up. So I think that
not asking about that. My question is very pointed. DSO is going higher. It is 111 days. See, this all reflects poor finance control, or the finance department doesn't have the required talent to drive SaaS business, which is the correct situation.
Okay, so I think it has got nothing to do with the talent that we have in the finance department. It is the DSO of 90. It is not that DSO have gone very bad. It has gone from 100 days, and this is also a bit of a timing issue on when we completed the project and when we could get this money in and things like that. And as Sumit clarified, as this quarter we are expecting the collections to be more than the billing, because some of the collections that did not come in by September, we have already collected in October. So I think that we will be back on track, and you will see that as we end the quarter in December, we are expecting our balanced cash position to improve from the 85 crore level.
See, Vinod, every quarter you are telling this thing. Next quarter we will be on track, but we are not coming on track for last 8 quarters.
So I think Mahesh, if you look at what we have been communicating, is that there is a change in the business model, and therefore there will be a kind of, as we have seen with every company that have gone through the transition, there would be an adjustment of the revenue, and that is why I think that we are currently reached a baseline position where we are able to report that this is our baseline sort of MRR, and we expect to grow from there. Now, what has happened as a bit of a unexpected thing this time, as I mentioned, is some reduction of services. That's not something, when we are delivering about 100% SLA compliance, that's not something that we expected. But it got hit on us, and we are now trying to see that even with that, we are trying to swiftly move the cost to the appropriate, areas, and thereby manage the situation. So I can see you from a qualitative standpoint. I've already mentioned we are giving you much more facts at this point in time on the customers that we are adding, the MRRs that we are booking. And I understand that you have been very patient, and it has taken more than what we expected. But that's where we are, Mahesh. I hope that, it is not pointing to anything, but in some of these challenges that we just mentioned.
No, see, what is my suggestion? Either you get a good talent from outside, abroad, so that they will drive the business properly. See, what is happening, every quarter you are coming up with new SQs, which is not correct. See, we have been waiting for last 12 years in Subex. So, see, every quarter coming up with new SQs is not correct. That actually diminishes the credibility of the management.
Absolutely. So look, I understand your feelings, but I think what we are trending is not excuses per se. We have been as transparently communicating the facts.
That is okay. Transparently you are communicating. But we should anticipate problem in advance. Now, that is what is management.
I think that is what I'm saying, that we are now in a position to say that this is the baseline MRR that we have. And therefore, I think we are reasonably confident going forward. We will be able to sort of show the quarter-on-quarter growth. I would not say the full impact of the license to subscription has flown into the account. We are still doing that conversion. But by and large, we have now have the growth in the new areas and hypersense, etc. And we are reasonably confident that we would be able to mitigate some of the conversion-related issues, conversion meaning model-related issues, and on an ongoing basis show the quarter-on-quarter thing. So I request a bit more patience from your end. I understand the feelings behind your question, but I'm requesting you to be a bit more patient so that we can show this quarter-on-quarter MRR growth, Mahesh.
No, see, we can wait. We have already waited for 12 years. So you can give, wait for one quarter, wait for two quarters. See, coming up every quarter with new SKUs is not correct, actually.
Yeah, I understand. I don't know what more to explain it to you, but I guess that I understand where you're coming from. But I guess that, as I told you, we are taking this as a baseline MRR. So from there onwards, we should be able to start showing a growth, Mahesh. And we have... overall, from a revenue expectation, let me also take this opportunity to set the expectation. We are not saying that the revenue will come up very quickly, but I guess that from now onwards, we will see the MRR gradually going up as we start completing this implementation. So, for example, the deal that the earlier Pratap mentioned, now that revenue has yet to flow into the financials, even though it's a large deal. So I guess it will start happening from March kind of time frame. So however, we are executing it full throttle. So that's why I think I'm still confident that we will start slowly slowing the growth. But I fully understand the sentiment behind your question, Mahesh.
Okay. So actual cash is 85 crore.
Sorry,
it is not.
That's correct. That is correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mahesh.
Thank you. Next question comes from Magesh Jagtap, an individual investor. Please go ahead. I repeat, question comes from Mahesh Jagtap, an individual investor. Please go ahead. There is no response. Next question comes from Rohan Kamath from Rohan Finance Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello, Vinod. I want to know about why here promoters are not holding any single shares. Means day by day you are selling only the shares in the, and there is ESOP also. Means employees know that they will you will bring that wrong results.
So on the promoter side, I think the promoters sort of exited in 2012. So I guess if you're referring to the recent reclassification, it is just a technical aspect. But the promoters of the company literally liquidated everything around 2012 time frame. Regarding the ESOP aspect, let me just clarify that part again. The ESOP has been alerted in FY 2018 and 2019 time frame, and that got vested, and those vested over a period of time, and then there is an exercise period, and people based on the cash flow, etc., are exercising that share. With respect to the liquidation, there are two aspects for it. Of course, based on cash flow, some selections have liquidated. But also, please understand that we have a lock-in period of 6 months, and therefore, even though some of the Subexians have already left Subex, but because of the six-month thing, they are a related party, and then we keep reporting their exits for a period of 6 months. So some of the recent things that you are seeing as a ongoing listing is not from existing Subexians. They are from past Subexians, and they are exiting because, we are reporting because of a related party. But by and large, it has got a cash flow. We are from a compliance standpoint, we have completely compliant on that aspect. And at least me along with my core team are quite, bullish on the opportunities in front of us, and we are driving this. And probably some of the progress, even though qualitative we are making, which I just explained, should give you the confidence that at least we are fully behind, believe in this some of these new opportunities and our portfolio, and we are going ahead with it.
Even I want to know about recently about Jio deal. you have won the EGODs, but no performance in the financial growth. Still no.
Jio is a partnership engagement. It's not a deal in the sense we are engaging on a partnership to take the product to the market. We are in the phase of putting the products together and creating the common portfolio, etc. So it's not a deal where we execute and get the revenue. It was a partnership deal. And as I said, we have a lot more partnership deals that we are working on. But as you will see as we go along, the improvement in the MRR, the monthly recurring revenue, as I have clarified in the earlier against the earlier question.
Recently, you have done that Jio deal. How much amount of deal have you done that? Means you have partnered with many things, but you are not disclosing that how much crores you have on that deal.
No, I don't think that those are things that we intend to provide specifics on, because that we have confidentiality that does not allow us to go into the specifics of those aspects. But I can tell you that almost all the new areas that we talked about, ID Central, Setrio, and HyperSense AI, our go-to, most of the revenues or large part of the revenue that we are clocking today is coming through partners one way or other. So, partnership is our main go-to-market for these new products.
Even you have showed that in a presentation that your ID centers are growing, but since quarterly, it's about 8 quarters that as Mahesh said that there is no performance in this company and we are still struggling for this because we have bought around very high level, but the companies are still, you are hoping us that quarter on quarter, but there is no growth in this company. And other side, all the IT companies are growing, but this company, I have seen that there is no growth in this company. Please let me know about it.
So this is a product business. These are new products. So I think it will take time for us to establish this as a business. And we are also going through this transformation, as I mentioned. So you should expect that with the change in the model, it will have a dip in our revenue and then we'll start it going in. And as I mentioned, we are now reporting the base MRR of 2.3 million and we are reasonably confident that going forward, we will start growing from that level of monthly recurring revenues.
In each and every quarter, you are saying that we are growing from the quarter on quarter, but there is no growth, you know, but we are facing the struggle in this company. I think there is some issue in this new placement. I think there is a good chance of abroad person to replace here, I think.
Okay, I hear you, but as I said, I don't know how I can respond to that question, but I guess that what I clarified is our current plans and our thoughts on this matter.
This is better luck, we know, for the next time. Please.
I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Thank you, Rohan.
Thank you. I request the participants to ask two questions in the initial round and join back the queue for more questions. Next question comes from Abhishek Kale, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, Vinod. Am I audible?
Yes, Abhishek. Go ahead.
Vinod, in the past conference calls, right, you had mentioned that we have installed Setrio on 500 devices of SBI. Have we made any further progress in that regard?
No, we have not because I'm not able to give specifics of it, but we are working on the redundancy site at this point in time, and once the redundancy site is complete, we will look at expanding to expanding to further devices.
Okay, and one more thing, Vinod, and I mean this is more of a comment. But it seems like the chairman, right, the board chairman, has probably lost interest in the company because of the immense amount of selling that we have seen from Anagha Investment Advisory or ICANN. Both are controlled by Mr. Singhvi, right? So, I mean, it's phenomenal to see that retail investors are holding on, and the chairman has probably lost confidence in our abilities to deliver. I mean, I don't know what to make out of it, but if you I mean, you as in the current management feels so strong and is so bullish about our products and everything that we are doing, right? Then why is it not translating into people holding on to the company shares that they have? At least the Subex employees. I'm not talking about the people who have left the company and whom you are reporting as related party transactions. I'm talking specifically about the people who are still working for the company. So, I mean, I don't know what to make out of it. Your comments on this, please?
Look, I think with respect to our engagement with the board and chairman is fully on. We just came out of a 2 days of intense exercise of looking at all aspects of the business and all aspects of this transformation. So I can very, very, with a lot of conviction, say that the board is fully engaged because this is a very big transformation that we are trying to do, and a new stack, new platform, some of the things we are doing for the first time. So there's a lot of guidance that we need. And so we have very, very thick engagement with the board and the chairman on this matter. With respect to the ESOPs, etc., as I clarified, it is purely on the cash flow requirement and things like that. For Subexians who are existing in the Subexians, please understand that you would also see a similar buy happening in many cases. That is because some of them are exiting to exercise towards the end of the end of the exercise period. They are liquidating some to collect money, to generate money to exercise more. So I think by and large you will see that Abhishek, the team has stuck on, and it's not that in this market there are no other options, because all of us believe that this is a huge opportunity that we have with HyperSense AI and the digital trust portfolio that we have created, Abhishek.
Yeah. Vinod, if I may ask one more question. Sorry if I have exceeded.
Go ahead, Abhishek.
So what is the ballpark time frame that you think the company will need to have things fall in place in the way you have envisioned them? Is it 12 months or 24 months?
I think we will have the revenues, the MRR and the one-time revenues around the slight growth from the current quarter for the next couple of quarters. And thereafter, by February, March timeframe, some of the new deals, MRC, will start kicking in. And therefore, you will see a significant increase from the MRC from the current level starting March kind of timeframe. So if you compare the current MRR of 2.3 that we reported as end of September versus the MRC that we would get to by the end of March, you would find that there is a significant increase. And assuming that MRC, there is always a little slight contraction, but that will be augmented with addition. So if you can take a view that the March MRC is something which we can carry forward, and there is a growth from 2.3 to what we are going to report in March of the MRC, that should be a validation that the new business model and the new revenue streams are kicking in, Abhishek. So that's the time that I would say that overall revenue will be pretty much in line with what we are reporting now. But if you look at the MRC revenue in itself, which is what is the most important metric as a subscription-based company, you will see that there will be a significant increase on the MRR that we report by March 23.
So, Vinod, if I've understood it correctly, you're asking us to consider having patience for 2 quarters, right? And then we would start to see improvements in our numbers. Am I right in understanding that? Sorry for the short summary.
That's correct.
Thanks a lot. And that's all from my side. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad. Next question comes from Nishit Mavani, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, Vinod. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. Thank you.
Vinod, I have one question, basically. The revenue this quarter, the income was about 75 to 80 crores, something like that. And employee benefit expenses, which are about 52 crores. Is there any possibility of reduction in employee benefit expenses? Because ultimately we are showing loss in consolidated. Or is it going high or something like that, which is uncontrollable by the management team or something like that? Because I find that if 52 crores is quite feasible, is okay, if your revenue is about 150 crores or 120 or 200 crores. But 50 crores with 75 crores, so your margin is your employee benefit expenses. What does that include as well? I just wanted to know about that.
Yeah, so I'll initially overall explain, and maybe I'll give it to Sumit to explain the specifics. See, we are a product entity, so what you would see that our large cost, the engineering cost, and our relative level support cost is pretty much static, and it doesn't vary widely with respect to the revenue. Obviously, if the revenue goes up significantly, then I think we may have to add the support cost. So, but the bulk of the cost that we have is on the engineering and the creation side of this as a product company. It is pretty much static. So I guess the issue today is not with respect to the cost, because I guess that cost is by and large optimized. It is due to the lack of the revenue thing. So if my view is that even if you see the revenue growing up to 100 crores from the 75, the increase that you will see from the employee cost from the 52 level will be not in the linear to the growth in the revenues that we would have. Now that is the overall thing because the product company scenario, but on the specifics of what constitutes the employee that line item, I'll ask Sumit to clarify.
Thanks, Vinod. So basically, employee benefit expenses largely comprises of the cost associated to the employee salaries, plus it has the cost associated towards the stock options and other thing, which is the P&L charge. Having said that, just to add on Vinod's thing, if you see year-on-year number, there is a reduction in the employee cost. And largely, as Vinod has mentioned, the bulk of this employee cost belongs to on the product side or the team side to that. So there is a reduction, though there is a cost inflation or in the increments which is comes in, we able to control or contain the cost in the line of a revenue reduction and all. So that is what I can just say. Definitely there will be always a scope of improvement, which we are closely monitoring it. And just ensure our bench utilization to the extent is high to control the cost. Yeah.
Okay. My second question is to Vinod. Are we looking for any investors? Because about in 2020, we were looking for investors.
Yeah, so we are engaging the investors with the intent to bring in the investors or institutional investors and likes of them, but again I guess that is not our top priority at this point in time. Our priority is to build all the effort on getting the HyperSense AI, and once we start driving on that, and just to add to that, these three new areas that we talked about are high growth large areas. The space is very big and it's high growth. And our belief is that once we start executing and the numbers start flowing, I mean, today at this point in time, the overall contribution is about, will be around, under 10% even as we end this year. But once we start getting much closer to 10, 15% of our overall revenue, I definitely think that, we'll get a lot more attraction from some of these investors. We are having a reasonable inbound on, and we are engaging with them. But that is a business as usual thing. But the specific effort we would hold on till we start, really firing on all these three new areas.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks, Leo.
Thank you. Next question comes from Sanjay K, an individual investor. Please go ahead. Mr. Sanjay, please go ahead, sir. There is no response. Next question comes from Amit Mishra, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good evening, everyone. I've been going through the presentation. I couldn't find this time order book and 12-month order backlog. If you can just tell what is the number for that?
Yeah. So Amit, the reason why they have removed that because it's no longer relevant for the new thing. And the way we should look at it is that you have the MRR that we mentioned, that we are currently saying that our MRR of end of September is 2.3 million, and the back contracted backlog is around 14.7 million.
Right. Okay. So you are covering that in the MRR, the legacy business, and also the new areas, right?
That's correct. All the MRR, because our going forward, we are seeing our business as subscription business. There, the overall total contracted backlog does not make sense. It is MRR, ARR, and the one-time revenue is working.
Yeah, makes sense. What was the free cash flow for H1?
So our cash balance is...
Free cash flow, yeah.
So, if you see the, obviously because of the losses around, our operating cash itself is a negative, so I will not say there's a free cash flow per se.
Right. Okay. So, one question on the business side, we were having this difficulty on the upgrade business, right? The upgrade side of the business on the legacy, because we were moving to HyperSense. How is it coming along? Because we were having issue like clients trying to save or not moving to HyperSense because they were saving on upgrade upgrade side and also not moving to the, give sense where we are heading in the legacy business.
No, in the legacy side, so initially we had some challenge with respect to convincing them on the subscription model. It is not the challenge was not to convince in the value proposition of 5%, it was primarily the revenue model. I guess that by and large we are not seeing that because one of the trend that we are seeing globally is a massive adoption of moving into the cloud adoption in telco. And in fact, this is perfectly. We are probably the only ones today in the market in our core domain, which is offering a fully integrated cloud solution. So therefore, I don't see that we are seeing much anymore. From a very, very small footprint customers here and there, we hear that. But our focus now is on tier one, tier twos, and we are selecting the customers at this point and where we are pursuing.
Why I'm asking this, because this has completely destroyed our top line, because 30% of the legacy business you advised earlier comes from the upgrade business. And see, only the Q1 is kind of a seasonally lowest quarter, and we see some uptick on Q2 and Q3, Q4 being the best. So I understand that because now we are moving to subscription-based business, it's going to change, the profile will change a little bit. But how we are going to make up for the lost business on the upgrade side? Are the new contracts which you are getting on HyperSense, they are sort of compensating? It's all encompassing in terms of the scale of the contract. Is it more? Is it less? So because this is the transitory phase, so we cannot read what's going on. So can you please explain?
So Amit, our clear view is that it will compensate, and we will have a lot more engagements, both with our existing customers, new areas. As I told you, we have opened up two new POCs in new area with two large tier one North American customers. and that these are in brand new areas which we never had, and that's a capability that we have as a company at this point in time, that beyond fraud, RA, and partner billing, we have an ability to engage with the customer on brand new areas like marketing, networks, prediction, you know, digital side, because everywhere there is a requirement for AI and ML, we can cater to. So definitely our view is that once we, as we have baselined this MRR, it will grow, and by quarter four end MRR, that will be pretty much, you know, we believe that some of the resetting, that the dip and then kind of come, the dip will kind of streamline, and from there onwards we should be able to see the month on month growth, and which will translate to quarter on quarter growth, Amit.
And are we happy? This is the last question. Are we happy with our portfolio? Are we working on more products? We have cash in books. Any acquisitions or new products that you have in mind or working upon?
Or we are okay? At this point in time, we are focused on these products, and we have an opportunity to, you know, if you look at Sectrio, we are focused on three markets, and the next step is for us to expand into other geographies when it comes to Sectrio. Same is the case with identity analytics. We are focused on only India because the Indian opportunity is very large. Now, the next opportunity is for us to expand into other areas. When it comes to HyperSense, while we are currently started with telco, there is an opportunity for us to, you know, immediately, the product can immediately cater to markets outside telco, like gaming, for example. So we are already talking to them, and some gaming companies are interested in working with us. So I guess that there's a lot of opportunity for us to expand the new portfolio, both into new geographies and new verticals, and that will be our near-term focus. And even if you have to do some strategic things, it would be more around these areas rather than absolutely new products.
This is the very last question, you know, sorry to add one more if I can. The equity base is quite high for Subex. Is the board concerned about this, or we have some plan in future to, you know, restructure somehow this thing for the revenue side?
So I think nothing that we have discussed or nothing that can be shared at this point in time. As we start executing, I'm quite confident that we will have a lot more interest from key investors to come and, you know, hold a larger portion of our company. So I guess that we are continuing engaging, and that's a business as usual thing, but no specific restructuring or anything of that we have planned at this point in time, Amit.
Okay. Thanks very much for answering my questions, Vinod. Good luck for the rest of the day.
Thank you, Amit.
Thank you. Next question comes from Aishwarya Gupta, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good afternoon. Am I audible?
Yes, Aishwarya. Go ahead.
Hi, Vinod. On slide number 27, you've mentioned that you've applied for 2 patents in the U.S. I wanted to ask, when did we apply? What's the date of application? And when do we expect a response?
So I don't exactly remember the date. I think we have applied during one last year and one early this year. At this point in time, we are having what we call as an office action, where you know, we get some queries and that getting clarified and things like that. So we are in that phase. We don't have a particular timeline as to when we get it, but at least the office action has started, where we're getting some queries and that is being responded at this point in time. And both of them are related to the AI ML space that we are working on.
Okay. Thank you. My second question is on liveliness detection. So I see many people also do liveliness detection. And one of our patents is regarding liveliness detection. So I want to ask you, how is it different from others? And what are we trying to tell by this patent? How is it helping us.
Yeah, so I presume that you understand liveness detection, but for the benefit of others, that it is to ensure that you just speak and typically you see that people asking you to read something, etc. So our intent is that we don't want to do that. We just take a photo, and from that photo, by understanding some of the specific aspects, we are able to detect that. At this point in time, based on what we understand from the market, our accuracy is fairly high, and we are one of the best in the market today. At least when it comes to India, we are one of the best when it comes to liveness detection. Some of the new things that we are getting, liveness detection and the face match, these are the two things that we are differentiating. And most of the customers that we have secured this quarter, we have secured about 11 this quarter. All of them are from existing users. So it is, we have swapped out competition, or we have been inducted into that with an existing competition. So we are quite high with respect to the accuracy. The specific technical aspects of how we are differentiating, if you are keen, you can send a note to us and we can share that details, Ashwarya.
Thank you. Last question, if I may. You've said in the con call that there are some people leaving the company, and we understand that product companies, and especially in the domain of product upgradation, we need talent, right? So how are we internalizing this problem?
Okay, so look, I think based on where we are and where we are in the from a market parity extract standpoint, we have a fair, I would say that we have focused our full effort to ensure that the key talent and exceptional performers is where we are focused on. Because that is not to say that we are not keen in stopping attrition, but it's not practical to stop all attrition. So therefore, our focus is on the key and the exceptional performers. That said, we have also started the intern program with NITs and some IITs, so that we have increased the intake at that level. And we have also streamlined our training setup so that we can bring them into a productive nature much more faster than what we used to do in the past. With the work, when it comes to HyperSense, we are trying to develop a community, and therefore we have spent a lot of effort in creating the training, etc., so that we can develop the community, and that is also helping us to internally bring up the people up to speed. I'm not saying that it's a happy situation to manage attrition, but I guess that it's a reality. It has become a reality, and we are just focusing our effort on holding on to the key and talented people. And once we have good intake of good freshers coming in with these experienced people, we are trying to bring them up to speed. It's not an easy task, but that's the approach that we are currently taking. Also, I would say that we are lucky that we have a very good content of work that we can offer, because we are working on some of the high end of technology, and we are doing some cool work with respect to platform cloudification and whatnot, which is the flavor of the town. So I think those are benefits that we are articulating to some of these talents.
Thank you, Vinod, and good luck.
Thank you. Next question comes from Ravikant, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Hi, Vinod. I have one clarification and two questions. Regarding the contracted backlog of $14 million, what is the time frame during which this will be executed?
Okay, the time frame will be about 3 to 4 quarters. Again, it depends on the execution. The execution depends on from a customer and things like that. But by and large, within 4 quarters, we should be completely executing the current backlog. Bulk of it will get executed in 3 quarters, and as some portion, maybe 10% or so, will go into the fourth quarter.
Okay, so we can say that $2.3 million of MRP and approximately $3.5 million of contracted backlog, that should be our revenue for the next 3 to 4 quarters.
By and large, but except for, as I said, you know, at this point in time, we are finding it a big, our customers are finding it very, very difficult for them to procure and provide the hardware for some of these new projects. But that is the dependency that we are seeing because of supply chain, overall supply chain issues. That's the only dependency that we have. Otherwise, your assessment is right.
Okay, thanks for the clarification, Vinod. I have two basic questions. We understand that the company has been going through a huge transition, and as you have explained, and that is one of the reasons why revenues are also going down. What I want to understand is, during this process, have we created any technological or business moat that will help us stand vis-a-vis competition? Because what I understand is that we are a very small company and we have very small marketing budget vis-a-vis competition. So what is the what are the moats that we have created during this this process, which will help us stand vis-a-vis the competition in future?
Yeah. So the moat that we are creating is on the product itself, where we are taking a lot of focus on having ease of use as our very important aspect. While you might see that ease of use a moat, at least in the enterprise business that we have, it definitely is. And we have worked over the last 2 years to take the perspective, look at what is the market solutions out there and bring that as a differentiating advantage. So that's where I think it's not to say that competition is, I mean, or rather our existing competitors will not or cannot catch up, but we definitely think that that's an advantage and a year advantage at the very least that we have. And that's where I think the execution during the course of the next 12 months will be very, very key. And as we start, and other aspect, as I mentioned, is the kind of community development that we are doing in our segment. And with this first more advantage in our space, our intent is also to develop a community around it so that, you know, that it feeds on itself and we create a library of some of the controls, et cetera. So the first more advantage, we can translate that into a significant more. To start with, it will be the ease of use, but as we start acquiring customers, the community and some of the shared library, et cetera, will also act as a more revenue.
Okay. Sir, my final question is a very basic question. Sir, and that is the reason why all the investors and analysts are here. Sir, how do we value our company? See, the problem is for a valuation exercise to be done, we need to have a revenue guidance, we need to have a growth rate, or we have to have some concrete timeline. And the management is reluctant to share any of those.
Yeah.
See, so, even your predecessor, so let me complete. Even your predecessor, Mr. Sujit Singh, in 2015, he used to give a concrete guideline that by 2017, we will achieve $50 million in revenue. But the company is still struggling to achieve that. So, sir, I would just like to know, can you give us some ballpark figure of the vision you have, say, for 3 years down the line for FY25? What is the kind of revenue that you are envisioning, or for, say, FY30? So at least we know the, even if you can't give us a very specific pointed direction due to the business exigencies or compulsion, at least we have a broad direction, but at least we can base our valuations on, based on, we need some foundation to base our valuations upon.
Yeah, really appreciate where you're coming from, and I guess that give us some more time, because as you said that we have not, while we are figuring out through the transition and we believe that we have got to a baseline thing. And I said get at least time till March. By that time frame, we should have a kind of predictable growth of MRR. And thereafter, our also effort is that at least to the tune of 2-3 quarters, we should be able to clearly articulate that this is what MRC that we can commit to, or at the bare minimum. So I think give us time till March, and I'll probably report to you, Ravi.
I beg to differ, sir. Even in your March phone call, you had said that by the end of September quarter, we will be in a concrete position to share the future guidance.
No. No. Let me clarify that. I don't think that I've mentioned that. What we mentioned was that by beginning of this year, we will provide you stats with respect to the new areas. And we have started providing the stats with respect to the new areas. Now what we are saying is that now we have started providing for our core area also, what is the subscription, what is the MRR, and what is the one-time revenue looking at. And what I'm saying is that by December time frame, looking at from now to December, we can identify all other nuances of this new subscription business. And I think that we will be, I believe that, based on if we execute and we get, if things go as per plan, we'll be in a better position to size that up. And let me come back to you during that quarter. But at this point, it will be very, very difficult for me to give a guidance to you. So,
can you please share us with a broad vision that you have where you see the company in FY25 or FY30 in terms of revenue?
Look, I think what I can say is that our core will be around this area. So we are talking about core being the three products that we have: fraud, business assurance, and partner billing will be pretty much in the ballpark area that we are having currently there. And the incremental growth will happen from our new areas. New areas being Septrio, ID Central, and mainly HyperSense AI. HyperSense AI is I personally am very, very, encouraged. And I put my entire bet on HyperSense AI because the next decade, I believe, will be that for AI. And we have created a platform which we think that we can compete at a global space. And I guess if, let us say, we are able to convert some of these POCs in the tier one markets in North America, that will be a validation as well. So I think in another 3 years' time, my objective would be to say that Subex will be a fast-growing AIML platform company that will take us to a very good revenue size and also a very good overall market capitalization as well.
Sir, what would you define as fast-growing?
Sorry, come again?
Sir, what would you define as fast-growing growth rate?
Well, again, you are asking the same question, multiple ways.
I'm not getting any number to base my valuations upon.
So I understand. So that is why I'm saying that information, give us time till March, and probably we'll come back to you. I'm not saying that we will give it, but I think we will be in a much better position to take a view on that, which at this point in time, it's difficult for us because we are just, having this transition, and we already have some, difficulties in the last two quarters, but I guess that we are baseline now. So let's give us some more time for us to get into a rhythm, and then we'll start communicating that.
Sir, I understand your point, but
I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, ma'am, my point is not complete.
Hold on. Go ahead, Jerry. Yeah.
Sir, I understand your point. I understand your concerns, but I would also like the management to empathize with the investors. We don't have clarity for another 6 months. And given the volatile state in which the markets are, it can create mayhem for the portfolio of the investors who have been invested for the company for a long time. In my particular case, I have been with the company for 5 years, and prior to that, I had been with the company for 15 years.
Mm-hmm. No, I understand, Devi. So I think while I appreciate where you're coming from, we have some difficulty at this point in time. So as I said, at least now we have clarifying the MRR and
Because of the very purpose of organizing this con call is to address the concerns of the investors.
I hear you. I'm just saying that give us some more time so that we can also size this up. We also don't want to make a mistake in setting the wrong expectation ready. So appreciate from our side as well, because we are going through this transition. So I guess that we will, now that we have started communicating the base metrics, we will continue to communicate the growth that we are doing. That should be give you some indication. But on the future prediction, at least, at the very least, you should give us time till March to come back on some of these new metrics that we are talking ready. Yeah.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much, and I wish you all the best.
Thank you, Ravi. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. That would be the last question for the day. Now, I'd like to hand over the floor to Mr. Vinod Kumar for closing comments.
Okay, thanks, Simona. I thank all the investors and analysts who have participated in the call, and thank you for your continued interest. As I said, this is a very interesting period, and we are quite challenging, but we are fully seeing the opportunity in front of us, and we are pressing ahead with the strategy and execution of our digital trust strategy. And we will keep you posted, and as we, and if you have any further clarifications, kindly reach out to us as investors at subex.com, and we will provide clarifications as required. Thank you very much again.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes your conference call for today. Thank you for your participation and for using Door Sabha's conference call service. You may disconnect your lines now. Thank you and have a pleasant evening.